We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Tara.
Exactly as I predicted. Gonna have to take a victory round on that one. Remember when Jeff Flake, Flaky Flake, Senator Flake, who thank God is gone, was all about stopping the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
And other federal judges as well, just to stick it to Trump. And despite the overwhelming evidence that Christine Blah Blah Ford was lying, in fact, she was caught in actual lies in her testimony, that didn't matter. Jeff Flaky Flake was out there, man. He was trying to mess this thing up. Thank God they got the votes to get around him, right? Because it was a very narrow vote margin.
Yeah.
Okay. And I said at the time, that, you know, people, why would Jeff Flake do this? Why would he screw up the country? Blah, blah, blah. You know, we can get a Supreme Court justice. We can get these other federal judges. And I said, because he is auditioning for a job with the mainstream media. Mm-hmm. And that's what he was going to get. They were going to pay very well. They appreciate you undermining the president. That, you know, the more successful that you are, the higher paying gig you get. Well, CBS News is engaged in talks to bring on the newly departed Senator Jeff Flake for a role with the network. See? That's what he was doing.
Yep.
He could have just gone quietly into the sunset, but no. That's because it was a job interview. That's why. That's what he was doing. Let's jump on the line with Wes in Greer. Good morning, Wes.
Hey, Terry. You know, as Gomer Pyle would say to that last comment you made, surprise, 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 right?
Let me stop you there. Wes, it doesn't pass the smell test to believe that Representative Stephen King, or anybody in their right mind, right, would sit down with the New York Times
and say that.
And defend white nationalism and white supremacy? Are you kidding me?
And he would have been instantly crucified, and it would have gone on a 24/7 news cycle that would still be going on right now.
So, I mean,
you and I know that.
Yeah, you have to ask.
Up.
Yeah. You got to say, wait, hold on. I just want to frame this. You got to say, Representative Stephen King, you got to come. Did you really say that to the New York Times? Tim Scott didn't.
Oh, exactly. Now let me preference this.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I've ever called Tim Scott's office, okay?
Okay.
I've called Trey Gowdy's office several times, super respectful every single time. He has the most hateful people answer that phone. They will jump down your throat. They will interrupt you. And my last conversation with them was, hey, no wonder Trey Gowdy acts the way he acts. I said, if it's any indication of what he allows you people to talk to his constituents. I told the lady, I've learned a lot. Thank you very much. And we hung up. But Tim's representative was very nice, listened. We had a two-way conversation. It was very enlightening, but what she told me was they are completely unaware that anything that Representative King said was false, okay? They don't believe it. They asked me to source where that was coming from, and I did not hear exactly the source that you said.
Stephen King put a statement out.
Okay, well, simple enough. And I told her, I said, well, then maybe you guys should do a little research on your side. And I said, you know, just if this is proven true, I said, would Senator Scott be willing to have a comment and address this? And she flatly says, no. No. And I said, so he's not. So even if it's proven, no. Where was this proven false? You know, now, she was nice. And I just went into, you know, how in the world can he explain this? I mean, he wouldn't pick up the phone and at least call the guy. I said, you know, he wouldn't want just a little clarification. And I said, you know what? I could see where he wouldn't want to touch this again because I said, either way, he looks really bad. Okay, he didn't take the time to check this. And I told her, I said, do you know what this does now when you make an accusation like this that wasn't true? I said, you know, I'm sick and tired of this accusation being thrown around and hurled at every last Republican, every last person. But, Tara, we hear the same thing about Trump, Mitt Romney, all of them. Because you voted for Trump, well, the violence that's been going on for the past 2 years is all our fault. That this is right up that alley where, you know, I can't explain it. But I will say this. The lady listens was very nice, and I enjoyed that, and it's a lot more than I ever got out of Trey Gowdy's office.
So they got that going for them.
Yeah, they got that going for them while they try to subvert everything we really want to do. So, you know, it's I don't know, Chair. You can't fight a war when the guys that are in your same trench are, you know, stabbing you in the back and complaining about everything you do. There comes a point in time when you've just got to, you know, just stay focused on the battle. Okay.
Yeah.
But these guys are not in with it, Chair. I mean, they're not down with this. It's evident. I mean, from Jeff Sessions on down. I mean, I just it just is unbelievable.
It is, Wes, and it's really frustrating, and I thank you for your phone call. We're talking about, just to recap, after Senator Tim Scott demanded in the pages of the Washington Post that the racist Republican Party, which is called racist, is tarred with being racist because we don't condemn things like what Representative Steve King did, that we got to condemn it. Well, the Republican leadership was then forced to act and stripped him of his committee assignments. And so I've been asking the question, did Tim Scott even bother to call Representative King before he tarred the whole party using this? And if he did, shame on him, that's even worse. King put out a statement explaining what he actually said. And if you read the statement, it makes complete sense. It's not racist. Not even close. It was an attack on the left. He said, slanderous labels have been increasingly assigned to conservatives by the left who inject into our current political dialogue such terms as Nazi, comma, fascist, comma, white nationalist, comma, white supremacist, comma, pause. Western civilization, how did that language become offensive? They cut off the part of the about the left and they took, quote, white nationalist, white supremacist, Western civilization. How did that language become offensive? Just common sense, folks. Anybody above a room temperature IQ looks at that and goes, there's no way somebody in their right mind said that to the New York Times. What did he really say? What did he really say? Then he says, why did I sit in classes teaching me about the merits of our history and our civilization? He's referring to white Western civilization. He then writes in his statement, and then he said, just to watch Western civilization become a derogatory term in political discourse. Clearly, I was only referencing Western civilization classes. He says in his statement, no one ever sat in a class listening to the merits of white nationalism and white supremacy. No, they didn't.
And people ask why Trump won't release his income tax records.
Oh, yeah.
This is what the left does, and they're very, very good at this. Taking something completely out of context and smearing a Republican / conservative over it, particularly a conservative. Because conservatives actually advocate ideals and principles to which the left is completely opposed to.
And to make this work, Tim Scott didn't just smear and pretty much destroy the political career of Steve King. He's done. He smeared the whole party with this. The whole party. Why are Republicans accused of racism? Question mark. Here's the headline. Because we're silent on things like this. You know what breaks my heart about this? Truly. I mean this, and I say this all the time. If you're a black person, I genuinely feel sorry for you because of what the media has done for you. I mean, you know, Lee, it's hard to go through life. We've all applied for a job we thought we'd get and didn't get it. We wondered, was it me? Is it how I look? Is it how I dress? Am I not good enough? What's wrong with me? And that's compounded when you're black and you got people like Tim Scott telling you the Republican Party's racist and trying to hold you back. My God, you go through life miserable and internalizing and suspicious when you don't need to be. That is a crappy thing to do to a group of people. And mostly it's the media doing it. But when you have somebody like Tim Scott aiding and abetting, shame on him. Just shame on him. And it's maddening to me to see a thing like this. And I think Tim Scott owes Representative Steve King at a minimum a phone call. I would probably say an apology. But at least a phone call to figure out what's going on before you do this. You know why I think he did this, Lee? Tim Scott is, at least at this point in his political career, still young. He's definitely going to be at the top of any vice presidential run list on the for a candidate.
Yeah, I would think so.
And the donors that pay the biggest bucks write checks to both parties, and they love stuff like this. They love it. He just threw his party and Representative Steve King's career overboard to advance himself a little bit with donors. That's what he did. Just not helpful. Not at all. Ralph writes in an email to me, Tara, Tim Scott was indoctrinated in the John McCain School of self-hating Republicans. McCain took him under his wing when he came into the Senate and schooled him on how to stay in the Senate by taking donor cash and trashing his own party for fun and profit. Oh, and his own advancement. So writes Ralph. All right, I got to get into this because there's so many lies to debunk today. I can't even begin to. Okay. The latest narrative, we're going to get into the narrative, too, because it's a big pack of lies. You heard about this. It's been the biggest story of the last 72 hours. Trump's a Russian dupe, actually. He's a fully owned Russian spy who has been weaponized by Putin, of course, sent into our country to take it over for the Russians. There's no proof of this, but the New York Times says so, so it must be true. Okay. I'm going to get in a minute to why the Times wrote this piece, which actually hurts the FBI more than it helps it. But first, I want to get into something else. What the new line is, the new explanation is that, see, the reason that the FBI was forced to investigate Trump after the firing of James Comey was, of course, the obstruction of justice through the firing of James Comey. But it's also because they could begin to tell that Trump was a Russian stooge. Because he will not disclose the, what the transcripts, what he and Putin talked about. He won't disclose it. He won't. And so that's how you can tell that he is being controlled by Vladimir Putin. That's how you know. That's been the basis of a series of articles in the New York Times and the Washington Post. Devastating articles. Headline, Trump's in the past couple of days. So they've tied that together with the investigation by the FBI into whether Trump is compromised by Russia that allegedly started after Comey was fired, right? So this is the new line. And, man, they feel like they got Trump now. They have got him. They got no new details and no new facts, but, boy, they got him. Headline in the New York Times, Trump's effort to hide details of Putin talks may set up fight with Congress. See, he's hiding because that was when Vladimir gave him the marching orders. How do you know? You can tell by looking at him. So the New York Times is writing about this. The administration appears unlikely to acquiesce to a demand for information on his meeting with Putin without a fight. The Democrats are now saying they want it. Mr. Trump has repeatedly withheld details of his conversations with Mr. Putin, according to current and former American officials. A practice that has left officials blind to the dynamic between the two leaders and intensified questions within the administration over the president's actions, i.e. whether he's a Russian dupe, he's controlled by Putin. Now, why would Trump do that? Keep the intel community blind about what he and Putin are talking about. Well, clearly, it's because Putin is controlling him. Because, see, Putin's got the goods on him. What goods? We don't know, but it's a good storyline. Doesn't matter. Or is there another better explanation for what's going on here? Here's Representative Peter King, not Steve King. We were talking about him earlier. Representative Peter King talking about why Trump might have hid details of his conversations with Putin. And it's because of previous extreme felonious lawbreaking by guess who? The deep state. Take a listen.
Congressman, on the Washington Post report claiming the president went to extra measures to conceal the details of this conversation with Vladimir Putin, Senator Ron Johnson was asked about this and had this to say.
I do know what President Trump was burned earlier by leaks of other private conversations, so I could certainly understand his frustration from that standpoint.
Okay, let me stop here. Do you remember in the beginning of the Trump administration where every time he, by the way, these phone calls are classified. They're highly classified. They were recording, they were listening in. It was terrifying. Remember me telling you the guy can't go to the bathroom, they're listening. Can't have a conversation with his wife, they're listening. My God, it's like he lives in a cage, like a prison. And the reason we knew that, because he was having conversations with foreign heads of states, they were all leaking. That's a crime. The deep state folks, the intel folks, recording Trump were leaking his conversations illegally. It was an outrage. Every one of those is a felony, by the way. And do you remember when Trey Gowdy asked James Comey, your agency seems to be illegally leaking stuff, sir. It's felony. You going to do anything about that? You going to investigate? And Comey laughed in his face. It was under oath. It was a hearing. Gaffed it off. We're the FBI. We can break whatever laws we want. We know better what this country needs than you do. So we've got massive law breaking here by the intel community. The leaking of President Trump's high-level conversations. No punishment ever from the FBI. Not even so much as an investigation by the FBI. They broke the law, not him. So enter Representative Peter King. On, you know, maybe this isn't evidence that Trump is controlled by Putin. Maybe it's because the Dern intelligence community keeps breaking the law again and again and again, leaking his conversations. And you can't cut deals with world leaders if they think they're going to leak your conversation.
I totally agree with Senator Johnson.
This is Representative Peter King.
Considering all the leaks that come out of the White House, out of the government, out of the deep state, whatever you want to call it. Remember, the first few days President Trump was in office, they were leaking the contents of his private telephone conversations with world leaders. So the last thing that President Trump would want was to have his private conversations with any world leader ending up in the front page of the New York Times, because it seemed to be a direct link from some people in the government directly from the president's office, where the president would be talking, whether it was here or overseas. His conversation is going directly to the New York Times or the Washington Post, so I don't blame the president at all. We're talking about national security here, and if you're talking to a foreign leader, person who can be considered an adversary, the last thing you want is that all over the news. But here's the deal. People act as if somehow there's some secret talks going on with the president and Putin, which are dangerous. How about when President Obama was caught on a microphone whispering to Putin, you know, wait till the election's over, and actually talking to the president of Russia, telling him to tell Putin, you know, once the election's over, I'll be able to give him a better deal. I mean, that to me, if anything, showed collusion, it would be that, and it wasn't.
I think the quote was something like, transmit to Vladimir that I'll have greater flexibility after the election. That's the comment to which you're referring.
Yeah, and that was Obama that said that. He got caught on an open mic. He didn't realize the mic was on. Not collusion. So this is what essentially is happening right now. Because the deep state broke the law and released classified conversations the president had, and because the president then took care to make sure the contents of his conversations with foreign leaders, especially Putin, because they'd really want those, were not leaked, he should be impeached. And he's clearly a Russian dupe. Why? Because he won't share with the same people who broke the law and leaked his previous conversations the conversation he had with Putin. See the context there? That's the history the media robs you of when they give you a one-sided, rotten, stinking story. Hey, this might be something for you, Lee.
What's that?
It's an idea.
Okay.
I don't know if you're going to go for it, but it's pretty cool.
Okay.
Or kind of creepy, depending on your perspective. In fact, I could see this is the beginning of a really cool horror movie if it was done right.
All right.
Okay. There are now all kinds of new ways to, memorialize yourself when you die, when you go.
Okay.
Everybody used to just be buried, right? But that was so 1999, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you can be cremated and all that. And then there's all these kind of companies out there now coming in the market with, like, great ideas for what to do with your ashes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's an idea. When you die in, say, like, the year, I don't know, 2050 or something, why not get your ashes turned into a hipster trend?
What might that be?
People are pressing their ashes into vinyl records.
Oh, okay.
So you get your favorite song on there on the vinyl record, you know what I mean? And your ashes. They make the record out of ash and some other industrial.
So I want it to be, then it should be Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven.
Oh, that would be perfect. Very good.
As opposed to AC/DC, Highway to Hell. That's for sure.
By the way, you know what is funny? Crash is getting into Twisted Sister lately.
Really?
He is big into Twisted Sister.
Yeah. Okay.
And I Want to Rock.
Yeah.
He loves that. He's got the whole headbang thing down.
Right.
Right. It's I Want to Rock and...
We're not going to take it.
Yes, that one.
We're not going to take it.
And you know what's so funny? I can remember my parents being horrified by those heathens. You know what I mean? They were kind of scary the way they were all dressed and looking, creepy and stuff. So, I'm listening to the lyrics as we're going, thinking, am I going to have to, put the kibosh on this as it goes? And he's loving it. He's just getting down to it. And some Twisted Sister.
Well,
and
Dee Snider's a good libertarian.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, that's even better. Anyway, so I'm listening to the lyrics, and I was amazed by how innocent they actually are.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they were completely clean, and you want to rock? Yeah, rock. But, I mean, they're screaming, all right, yeah, and they look a little scary. But, I mean, I'm looking at like, this is just almost cheesy. Why did this freak our parents out? Today I'm like, here, listen to Twisted Sister. Just don't go online.
Exactly.
They're a little loud, but they're nice and clean.
Yes.
But, oh, my gosh, I couldn't bring those posters home when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
It's gonna go straight to hell, you know.
Yeah, well, you know.
Men who look like that.
It was not an attractive look, I'm sorry. At least.
No, but at the time it was so cool.
I'm sure the ladies loved it.
No, they did. Isn't it funny, though, how, just cheesy that stuff looks now, and back then it looked.
Well, it was avant-garde at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, David Bowie did that. The New York Dolls, Kiss. Dee Snider and Twisted Sister. There were some that Alice Cooper, doing some of the makeup and some of the other stuff, and that was sort of avant-garde at that point. Now it's sort of like they're coming out with makeup lines for men. It's just like no. I'm sorry. That's enough.
It's bad. Texter writes, Tara, only you can make my drive on 85 enjoyable with hipster ashes. Hey, just do what I can.
Yes, exactly.
Texture rates, what's next? Ash tattoos?
Ooh.
Actually, they have that.
Really?
Yes.
Talk about getting under your skin.
Oh, yeah. No, it's bad. No. Here's one. Neptune Society. What to do with cremation ashes? Tattoo. You could turn them into tattoo ink. So you get your loved one tattooed right to you.
Wow. Okay. That's a little... Okay. I guess that's not a whole lot different than, who was it? Angelina Jolie and Billy Bob Thornton. They had vials of each other's blood that they wore as when they were married or hanging out together or whatever the thing was when they had their relationship.
Yeah. I wonder whatever happened to those. Did they throw them out? I mean,
could be. That would be a biohazard, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Had to be disposed of carefully.
Yeah. Yep. By the way, did you see Gwyneth Paltrow took her old husband on her honeymoon with her new husband?
Oh, the guy from Coldplay?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's her old husband, right?
That's the old husband,
That's the ex.
Yeah, it's yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, she's a little interesting anyway.
Yeah, they're the ones who have, Apple together.
Yeah.
And
that's not a computer, that's the daughter.
No, that is the daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So. I really like her in Iron Man as, what is her, Pepper?
Oh, yeah, she was good in that.
She's very good in that. I really like her in that. But, she's a little weird.
Texter writes, my record, In the Time of Dying by Led Zeppelin.
There you go. Another good Zeppelin reference. I love it.
Can you imagine you loved Mom dearly, so you had her cremated and turned her ashes into a final record, and then you give it to Dad?
I guess for the mother-in-law, you'd have Over the Hills and Far Away.
Yes. Because in how far away can I chuck this thing? Yeah. Okay. Texter writes, wonder how much it would cost to get Hillary Clinton to kiss my ashes. okay. Apparently, this listener has misunderstood the topic.
Yeah, okay.
But thank you for playing.
Yes, exactly.
Texter writes, oh, I love it, y'all. Billy Bob and Angelina disposed of their blood vials in the Sharps dispenser at Starbucks.
There we go.
I don't get this one. All right. Let's see. Texter writes. No, that's different, too. I was going to say, Texter writes, David Bowie did some weird things with Mick Jagger. Yeah, but that's a different thing.
Yeah.
Texter writes, nothing would make music lyrics more clear than listening to them with your children.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, that's true.
Isn't that funny?
Because then you really listen.
Yeah. Yeah. He. I named him after a Rush song.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I went from biblical references with my second child to straight to Rush with the third,
you
know what I mean? So I got
go wrong there with a good Canadian power trio.
Exactly. So we were listening to that song and the Twisted Sister was right next to it. And he got down to that more, than the others, so.
Well, you're going to have to get him to listen to some Rush, too.
Texter writes, my buddy has his wife's ashes put has his wife's ashes put into a rose tattoo on his hand. She died by a freak accident in their home when she was 39.
Oh, gosh.
Was it a fall? I don't want to. Did you see that list of things people die of?
No, I missed
I'm weirdly that. Fascinated okay. by this.
Apparently so.
Yeah, no, well, no, because and what's there's all the stuff that you would expect on there, right?
Okay.
You know, the car accidents and whatnot. But what's really interesting about it is that when you look at number six in the top 10 is falls in your home.
Okay.
Like falls. And number five is car accidents, and yeah. It's pretty close.
Yeah.
It's one in 114 that you die of a fall and one in 105 that you die of a car accident.
Well, the only fall I could probably die of at my home would be if I fall out of the attic when my wife sends me up there to get something, because we're one-story home. So.
Well, yeah, but you know, oh, yeah, that's good. That's good. But, you know, like, so it's falls, though, like you got to watch in the shower, you don't have stairs.
Yeah.
And shower, stairs, you know, water on the floor, that kind of thing. So, you know, you go to a store and you see, like, you know, when there's a little liquid on the floor, it's like a 3-alarm emergency. Well, I guess that's why.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
all those people dying in falls,
that
you know?
In litigation.
Yeah, that too. Texter writes, "Who Wants to Live Forever? My favorite Queen album."
Well, there you go.
How about Dancing with Mr. D by the Rolling Stones?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the texture says we need common sense stair control. I think so. Exactly. Mandatory escalators, or I should say elevators, installed in every home, right?
You need stair airbags.
Yes. My kids do, man. They when they're young, man, you have no fear of dying. It is not real to you. You should see how they take the stairs.
Oh, I'll bet.
My son likes to jump stair by stair down the stairs. I'm like, you are not going to live to 15 at the rate you're going.
Good luck with that.
And you know what I scream about? I scream at him for it. I literally almost every day, Lee. Almost every day, and it just does not permeate.
No.
It's like he's got an occasional cortex or something. Texter writes, Ozzy might even be freaked out with the ash eating.
Yeah,
I don't know if anybody's eating them. I don't know if they're baked into baked goods.
Yeah.
But only because nobody's thought of it.
Don't give them any ideas,
Tara,
please.
Yeah, I know, really.
Oh, goodness.
Texter writes, Tara, Hillary ashes would be on Jailhouse Rock, huh?
There we go.
Oh, okay. About the so the guy who tattooed his wife's ashes into his tattoo, which was a rose. Texter writes, in fact, it was a fall. She tripped over something in their bathroom and hit her head on the edge of the bathtub. Oh, that's terrible. Terrible. Get yourself a good grip rug in there. Spend the money. It's worth it. Texter writes, Tara, how about I'm not here for a long time? Yeah, and somebody else, Stairway to Heaven. Yep. All right, gonna jump on the text line real quick. Texter writes, Tara, I'm watching Diane Frankenstein spouting her usual, I can't say the word on the air, at Mr. Barr. It makes me wish I could reach through the screen and throttle the witch. Yeah, watching this Mr. Barr thing is just disgusting to me. I gotta tell you what, this one I just don't get. I just don't get it. Do you know who Mr. Barr is? They're the guy, they're having a hearing to decide whether he's going to take over the Department of Injustice. And all indicators are, given his background, it will be just as unjust under Bill Barr, as it will anybody else. Do you know what Lindsey Graham said? That Bill Barr and Robert Mueller are best friends. Lindsey Graham was very excited about this. He thought this was the greatest thing. He said it about a week ago. And they are such best friends that they worked together at the Department of Injustice for many years, and that's how they got to know each other, under the Bush administration. Got to bring in a Bush official. Why would you nominate somebody from the Bush administration when their sworn goal in life is to defeat you if you're Trump? Anyway, Bill Barr's wife and Mueller's wife are in the same prayer group together. Isn't that sweet? Yeah, they go to the same church. And they're best friends, according to Lindsey Graham. Wow. You know, at some point, you can only feel so sorry for Trump for this deep state stuff. And Bill Barr's like, oh, my friend Robert Mueller, no, he's a fine guy. I'm going to let him do whatever he wants, no matter how many laws he breaks and how many things he leaks and how many laws that breaks. Why, we go to church together. Oh, my God. You know what? Trump ought to have left the acting director in place. Anybody but this guy. He looks like a bozo. Why would you do this? At the most self-defeating things that Trump has done have all been his appointments. No, I can literally remember. I had a physical reaction. I had driven home. I know where I was standing when my husband told me, because we'd just broken on the news. It was right by the island in my kitchen. I remember where I was standing because I was so horrified. And Trump had already won the election, but he hadn't been inaugurated yet when my husband told me, oh my gosh, he's keeping Comey. What? I mean, it would have been so easy to drop Kit Comey at the time as the head of the FBI. Republicans hated him. Democrats hated him. No one would have cared. He left him in place. Inexplicable. And that was the same week that Paul Rhino Ryan, one of the most destructive human beings on the planet to America's interest in borders, offered to resign as speaker because Trump had won and his team had lost. And Trump let him stay. And I had a visceral gut reaction to that. I literally felt it. I was so horrified because I knew what it meant. I knew it meant I knew who Ryan was. I knew there was no way. I mean, Ryan worships open borders. There was no way the Trump agenda was getting through. And Trump left him. And my husband, the glass half full guy, is like, no, maybe this is good. Maybe he's got to, you know, he's got to work together with that wing of the party. It's like, no, it's not good. It's not good. It won't end badly. And between the two of them, they stole literally 2 years of the Trump presidency with the help of Jeff Sessions. I mean, the most destructive things Trump has done are not his tweets. They're his appointments. I mean, heck, Rens Priebus, who he hires to be his chief of staff, was Paul Ryan's best friend, probably the one who told him to keep them all. They're best friends going back to college. I mean, my gosh, when you put your enemies right there behind you and you hand them a knife, what do you think they're going to do? And Trump's doing it again. I mean, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I eat these words. Bill Barr, best friend of Robert Mueller, according to Lindsey Graham. And again, Lindsey Graham said that in a positive way. Mueller's wife and his wife hang out at church together. They go to the same prayer group. They've been going to church forever. Mueller attended his kids' weddings. Should Mr. Mueller be released from his job? No, he's doing great illegally leaking stuff all over the place and breaking laws. I love when they do that. What? You know, at some point, folks, you know, if it's a guy and he's walking along the road and there's a cement truck headed toward him and it's going to mow him down and you say, dude, get out of the way. There's a cement truck. And the guy says, oh, I know the guy driving. He won't run me over. And you say, but the guy driving hates you. His goal in life is to decimate you. Yeah, he won't run me over. But why don't you get out of the way anyway? No, I'll be fine. And then when he gets run over, which Trump will by this guy, you can only feel so sorry for him. He's doing this to himself. Texter writes, it's just you and Ann Coulter that seem to get it. I know. I wish there was a third one. Texter writes, Tara Kennedy said last night on Fox Business that Bill Barr had a terrible record on civil liberties. Of course he did. He's a Bush appointee. Daddy was a disaster. I mean, do you realize something just dawned on me the other day? You know Daddy was head of the CIA, right? Daddy Bush? And Daddy Bush has effectively controlled the Republican Party up until his death, 15, 16 years. Some debate over who controls it now. It's either Trump or the Bush crowd led by Romney. It's hard to say. It's hard to say. But the Bush people want it back, and they want it back bad. Badly. My editor would be appalled. And so you appoint these people? Are you serious? Isn't it a little weird to you that the former head of the CIA has controlled the Republican Party, including every Republican primary candidate they've ever backed and gotten out of the primary, so you couldn't vote, you couldn't have a choice, and he was the former head of the CIA. Does that freak you out at all? It freaks me out a little. Anyway, this is an act of self-destruction by Trump to appoint this guy. I don't know what else to call it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.